Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But, you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast. San Juan Regional Medical Center is your community hospital, committed to making life better for the communities we are privileged to serve. In fact, better is our mission, improving lives through personalized health and care. What matters most to our patients matters most to us. Offering a comprehensive range of inpatient, outpatient, and emergency care services so you can get the quality care you need right here at home. San Juan Regional Medical Center, celebrating life better here since 1910. Twelve minutes past 8 o'clock. It is Monday morning, the 14th day of October, 2022. Good morning, everyone. I'm Scott Micklin. Thanks for tuning in to KSJE 90.9 FM here in San Juan County, New Mexico. In Durango, Colorado, of course, we're broadcasting at 103.3 FM. And if you're anywhere else on the planet this morning, you're always tuning us in on our website, ksje.com. Welcome also to our viewers who are watching this visual radio program. The video is streaming out live to the KSJE Facebook page, our YouTube channel, and our Twitter account. So we're glad that you are with us this morning, because coming up, we're going to get some insights into the local oil and gas economy here in the San Juan Basin from two of the best in the business. I'll introduce them to you in just a moment here on KSJE, but we're glad that you're with us for that important conversation, which starts very shortly this morning. Later on, we'll be talking technology with my guest, Lewis Campbell from Synergy Computer Systems. It's our Monday reboot segment coming up today at 8:50 a.m. on KSJE. Next hour, of course, Roving with the Arts, our long-standing classical music program. Music today from Mozart, queued up and ready to go. That begins after the news at 9:06 on KSJE this morning. Don't forget, you can also connect with us on our Instagram page in addition to Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. And if you're a podcast person, this program, as well as many, many other local programs, become podcasts, and you can find them wherever you listen to podcasts, places like iTunes and Spotify and iHeartRadio and Google Podcasts. Just subscribe for free to KSJE Podcasts. Outside our studios here at San Juan College, it's a sunny morning, 31 degrees at the moment. We're expecting a mostly sunny day today with a high of 45. Clear skies overnight with a low of 18. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, 42 for high on Tuesday. Sunshine and 41 on Wednesday, 42 again Thursday and Friday, and overnight lows in the upper teens. Well, let me introduce my guests who are here with me this morning. As I mentioned, some of the best in the business. T. Greg Marion is here from Marion Oil and Gas. Good morning and welcome back to KSJE.
Thank you, Scott. Good morning.
Good to have you here. Recently retired.
Yes.
President of Marion Oil and Gas. I told you when you came in, I couldn't leave you alone for 6 months until I got you back. So glad to have you here.
Glad to be here.
Thank you. George Sharp is also here from Marion Oil and Gas. Mr. Sharp, great to have you here, of course.
Good morning.
Thank you all for coming in this morning and to try to maybe put some sense into what we're seeing out there in the gas patch and in the oil business. And so as we were talking before we came on the air this morning, rig counts are up in New Mexico. They're up in the basin. And those are good signs when it talks about energy development and jobs in the area. But it means a lot more than that, too, doesn't it? George, start with you.
Well, the reason rig counts are up
yes.
is because prices are up.
Prices are up.
And prices justify activity. And so I just actually did a talk, Scott, for the Desk and Derrick Club, talking about the Mancos gas being the next big thing. And the there are hundreds and hundreds of Mancos wells, gas wells to drill, and an estimated 100 TCF of recoverable reserves. That's double what's been recovered from every single formation, all the other formations. They've recovered about 50 TCF so far, and there's 100 to recover in the Mancos. So the Mancos gas is it's the real deal. The wells are comparable to the Haynesville and the Marcellus, which are the two big gas plays. that kind of set the bar. The challenge and the reason why there's 20 rigs in the Haynesville and 20 rigs running in the Marcellus is because of infrastructure and permitting. Permitting's a challenge. Most of the Mancos gas availability is in La Plata County, actually, up in the deeper part of the basin, and that is not an easy place to get a permit. We've been working with a company that's been over a year and a half, and still at least 6 months away before we can drill a well. So it takes a long time to get through the permit process that has become more and more and more cumbersome. The other challenge is infrastructure. All the existing wells that are there, and there are thousands of Mesa Verde and Dakota wells, conventional wells, but they're all low pressure, and the system is low pressure, the gathering system. And so this Mancos gas is very high pressure, needs new pipe. And so they're really where most of the drilling is happening now is around the infrastructure, where the infrastructure has been built out, and they're going to slowly drill out from there. So it's going to take a while, but the Mancos gas is a world-class reservoir, and it will be developed eventually.
Interesting. And so with that infrastructure, with the pipelines, because we know we have a pretty good pipeline system, but it's low pressure, right?
Yeah, it's old,
and that's
low
the difference.
Pressure,
yeah. And so can they upgrade that, or can there be some modifications to do it, or they have to start from scratch? I'm not a pipeline guy, as you can tell.
They pretty much have to start from scratch.
Really?
The pipe that's in the hole is not, or in the ground, for the most part, is not going to have the pressure rating that it's going to take to handle the Mancos gas.
Understood. Gotcha.
And so they're laying new pipe, is my understanding, to these new wells.
I see. Gotcha. T. Greg Marion, I certainly want to get you involved in the conversation, too, this morning about the future and the current status of the oil and gas industry here in the basin. Prices are up, as George was saying. In fact, in gas, natural gas prices are up by almost doubled than what they have been for a long, long time. I remember talking with folks about prices in the $3 range, and now they're $6 range, right?
So right. So natural gas prices hit a real low back in April of 2020. And since that time, they've been improving, and our November price is $5.44, which is
that Salmon Basin price after that deduct?
It was $5.20 NYMEX, positive 24 basis differential to give us a $5.44 per MMBTU price in November.
What was the low?
The low was just over
the 250s.
No, it was down in April of 2020. It got below 2.
Wow. Yeah. At NYMEX? NYMEX was below 2?
Yeah.
I know our wellhead was below 1.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
And you can't do much when you're only getting a bacchanam at the wellhead.
Right.
It is very difficult to justify any activity.
Understood. So. And at that point, wasn't that the time when a lot of producers were just kind of stopping the production from some of those low producing wells? It didn't make sense to have them producing anything with the price so low. Wasn't that the idea?
That is correct. We shut in a number of our wells and that were uneconomic at a buck, just couldn't pay the operating expenses.
But today, different story.
Different story.
Every well we have
that's capable of producing.
At these prices, which makes sense.
At these prices,
right.
Which is wonderful.
And so that's one thing with the existing wells. And then as George Sharp was saying, there's maybe some of these new wells coming on board once the permitting comes through, I guess, and some of these other areas too. And I guess what's driving the price would be just higher demand for natural gas, or some of these things that we're seeing with
worldwide demand.
It's
the worldwide need for LNG, liquefied natural gas. The environmental movement wants you to believe that all we need to do to solve the climate crisis is to quit producing oil and gas, and then we'll quit using it all of a sudden magically. Well, that's just not the way it works. We need to quit using it first, Because when you quit producing it, when it becomes no longer available to the world, when Russia shuts off the gas pipeline or the world embargoes their oil, and you take that supply out of the market, well, it turns out the demand's still there. I mean, the world still needs oil and gas, and the United States still needs oil and gas. And so until we quit needing it, we still need to produce it. And the best place to produce it is right here in Farmington, New Mexico, San Juan County.
It's been a long-standing energy supplier
Country. It's been good for our community, not bad. It's made all kinds of beautiful amenities in our city and our county, and provides jobs and healthy economic activity. So it's a win-win-win. Hopefully we'll keep winning and won't get shut down by the extremists that don't understand supply and demand.
Right. Well, and so, of course, and everyone wants responsible development, right?
We live here, not the people in New York are trying to shut us down to save our air. Well, our air is just fine. We breathe, you know, great. Grew up here, both T and I did, born and raised for the most part.
I've heard the stories. I know. We two grew up here, but yes, that's true. T. Greg, let me get back to you a little bit about this pricing, because this is being driven then by what sounds like global events, right? With the war in Ukraine and the shutting down of some of the natural gas pipelines to Europe. Right. And so all these global international pressures are what's driving up the price that trickles down literally to here in the basin then, correct?
That's right. Yeah, Europe needs energy, and if they're not going to get it from Russia, they have to get it from other sources, and we're one of those sources. And so our LNG exports are up, which means the demand for our U.S. natural gas is up, which has driven the price up.
Right.
So.
And as George says, you know, the basin, San Juan Basin, has been a longstanding supplier, a major energy player in the country for 60, 70 years, right? If not more.
Yeah.
We celebrated the 100th anniversary not too long ago of the first well. But that means, I think a lot of folks were maybe writing off the San Juan Basin just a few years ago. And you both probably said not so fast.
We actually started investing in other places. Very few economic projects to do here in the basin. And so we started putting our money in Appalachia and the Marcellus and then Louisiana and the Haynesville and doing deals in other places where it made sense, because it just didn't make sense to do anything here. But now it does.
Right.
And we're back.
But I don't hear a lot of talk about booms and boom towns and things like that, maybe like I did the last time prices were up. And is that just because it's revving up? And things are happening behind the scenes that maybe I'm not listening to?
So the last time, I think, during the Fruitland coal boom in the early 2000s, there was as many as 40 rigs. I think we maxed out at like 40 rigs. We're now at 6. So 6 rigs isn't a boom compared to 40.
Right.
40 is a boom. 6 is definitely, you know, spurring things. You know, it went into... went into Sam's, you know, on Friday afternoon, and it's frickin' packed, man. And so there's a lots of economic activity going on. You know, is it a boom? Hopefully it's sustained. It's sustained economic growth. That higher natural gas prices are here to stay, and the market, the futures market says they are. The futures market goes back down to about 450, and then comes back up. But that's 450 is a high price relative to what we've had, and a price that's certainly high enough to keep the drilling activity going that we've got going now in the basin.
You'd be happy with that?
I'd be happy with that.
450.
Yes,
okay.
I would.
All right. T. Greg Marion, what about that price for stable, I guess, maybe stable growth? And is maybe that why we're not hearing a lot about big boom time, because folks are maybe a little more hesitant to maybe do a lot of investing because of the way it's been up and down recently?
Yeah, well, this is the first time we've seen a price like this for natural gas in quite some time. And so I think that's what George mentioned about the infrastructure problem. That has to be addressed.
Cart before the horse, I guess, right? You can't drill if you don't have the capacity in the pipeline.
That's right. And operators need to be confident that this higher natural gas price is here to stay, and I think that they're gaining confidence. And then we've got to work with the regulators to be able to get permits in some sort of a timely fashion. And if all those can come together, if we can get the infrastructure addressed, if we can get permits approved in a timely manner, and if this natural gas price stays, you know, north of $4 or $4.50, you're going to see George talked about 100 trillion cubic feet of natural gas in the Mancos. That's recoverable natural gas reserves in the Mancos, and which is twice as much as natural gas as we've recovered to date from all the conventional formations that we've been producing for the last 100 years. And so it is a big, big deal. And when all these things come together, you're going to see.
It'll be around for a while.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's
super exciting.
Yeah, right. Challenges will slow it down, but it's not going to stop it. I think, you know, persistence will find a way through the challenges. And I say that, you know,
right.
Regulators have a way of shutting things down if they want to, no questions asked.
True. And I guess when we're talking about things like pipelines and other things like that and infrastructure, that leads me to think about capital and investments and things along that. Is there a lot of liquidity in that area? Are a lot of people looking to invest in things like that? Interest rates are up, of course, so it's hard to maybe go to the bank to take out a loan or paying more back. But are there people that are looking to maybe help with this infrastructure and maybe help with improving these gathering systems, the pipelines and such?
I'm going to say that there's interest coming in. So,
or is it just getting out there?
All of the majors in the basin have sold out over the last decade to private equity companies. And the private equity model is you get a bunch of money from Wall Street and you match it with 10% money of your own. J. Paul McWilliams at Lagos, for an example. You go out and you drill a dozen wells and show that this is going to be a big deal and you've got this big project, and then you sell it for this big number and you get this big rate of return, and the private equity company goes away and
they made back their investment.
Right. Well, all those private equity companies, have been not getting those rate of returns, and not because the prices have been low. That's been very difficult, you know, especially in gas to make that work. But Lagos private equity did just roll over. They got a new private equity company that came in. So there is money that's coming in now looking at gas, not just oil. And, I haven't heard about any private equity money coming in looking at infrastructure, but I think the companies that own the infrastructure, Harvest Midstream and Red Cedar, which is
tied to pipeline companies.
The pipeline companies, they both, I think, have the money with the developers to slowly build out the infrastructure, and that's what they're doing now. Is they're you know, those companies are slowly building out the infrastructure where the drilling is.
Right. They can see the return, I guess, or the investment.
Right.
In making that back with this higher capacity, I suppose, is what we're talking about, right?
Right.
Gotcha. And T. Greg, I mean, again, you've seen a few booms and busts in your time, and so, but this sounds like maybe a more stable cycle than maybe in the past. I don't know.
I think
what
so.
Do you see?
I actually.
There's been no times when prices were high when we didn't think they were going to stay high.
Yeah. Right, I understand. Yeah. I do understand.
Yeah. Well, it just there's an awful lot of natural gas reserves to be produced, and so, but historically, oil and gas are commodities, and the price of those commodities has gone up and down routinely in the past. And so to think that it's not going to do that in the future is probably not right. But,
sure.
But you are going to see it fluctuate, but there's a lot of natural gas yet to be produced in the San Juan Basin, and it is going to get produced.
Right. And that's verifiable, and that's what you're saying. Whether or not you wait until the price comes back up to produce it is the question, I suppose. But the price is up now, and that's what we're talking about.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what we're working on.
What about the workforce, I guess, is the other question for you. After all these years of lower prices, have we lost a lot of folks maybe from the basin who've gone to some of the other areas that were producing more? Is it harder to get these folks back, or do we still have a pretty good workforce that you can be called upon when prices go up and the activity comes up and the rigs come back up?
You know, Scott, my sense is that we probably have lost some workers because of the downtimes. At Marion Oil and Gas, we've been very, very fortunate that we've maintained our team. It's not a large team, but when I look at the other operators in the basin, DJ Resources, Lagos, Enduring, I have not heard that they've had any challenges in regard to workforce.
It's the services that are having the challenges.
The other
getting
the
truck drivers, industries. Getting rig hands, getting, you know, so there is an issue with the workforce at the field level.
I see.
You know, that's, you would think, would open an opportunity for some of the miners that are, you
right.
know, losing their job and looking for something else to do, and hopefully that's something we can backfill. But there definitely is some shortages. My son Reed works for a company called EOG, and they were fracking a well down south, and it took a bunch of water, and they trucked water for 2.5 months because they only had so many trucks, and they had to start 2.5 months early because that's all the drivers they had. They couldn't, you know, they had plenty of trucks, but no drivers.
Right.
Was the issue.
Gotcha. Interesting.
So
my guest this morning, we are talking about the current industry of the oil and gas industry here in the San Juan Basin. Natural gas, of course, has been the basin's bread and butter for a number of years, and it sounds like there's still a lot of potential in the San Juan Basin. T. Greg Marion is here, and George Sharp from Marion Oil and Gas, my guest this morning. And so we're hearing a lot, certainly, about natural gas being kind of this transition entity, this transition fuel for changing over from maybe coal and things like that for energy production as we move into maybe more renewables and things along that line. That seems to be driving some of this demand too for natural gas, doesn't it?
I thought maybe an interesting tangent, Scott, would be to talk about hydrogen energy.
Right.
You've
heard a lot of talk about hydrogen hubs.
Hydrogen hubs.
Right.
Still don't know what exactly a hydrogen hub is.
Right. Right.
But So hydrogen energy, hydrogen is not an energy source. It is because you can't find pure hydrogen.
You have to make it.
It is, you have to make it. And to make it, it takes energy. And so rather than making hydrogen and using that hydrogen to make electricity to put into the grid, you'd better off just use that energy and put it directly into the grid because there's an inefficiency in going through that process. So hydrogen is not a grid scale energy source. It is going to be used where you can't capture the carbon that's being emitted, like in a car, automobile travel, mainly heavy equipment, diesel. It's got enough power to replace diesel. And the major source for hydrogen, there's two sources of hydrogen. You can make it from methane. Methane's a very weak molecule, easy to break up, doesn't take much energy to get that hydrogen out. Or you can make it from water, which is a very strong molecule, and it takes a whole bunch of energy to break that out. And that's what the world is, the green world is pushing for, is green hydrogen, which is making it from water, which is an extremely inefficient process. and using it using renewables to do it, saying, well, we have excess, you know, we got way too much solar during the day, let's make hydrogen, and then we'll use that hydrogen at night to to power the grid. It's just so much more efficient to make that hydrogen from methane than it is from water. And frankly, fresh water isn't the easiest thing to find all over the planet either. So so I think methane, I think hydrogen energy will be a major player, and I think ultimately methane will be the feedstock that provides that. But again,
and methane has a relation to natural gas, does it not? I mean, that's
methane is natural gas,
right?
So yeah, it is natural gas.
So that can be a
CH4.
Thank
yeah.
you. So that can be something that can be also utilized by the San Juan Basin.
Absolutely,
suppose, right?
That,
which is why we're hearing so much about.
Right, which is why, you know, Jason Sandell and you know, the hydrogen group is really pushing for, you know, this being a hydrogen hub here. I don't know if that's going to happen.
Right,
I have my doubts. They've got a 4-state consortium that's, you know, working together to put together a proposal, but I don't know how they decide. Is it going to be in Wyoming or in New Mexico? And if it's in New Mexico, is it going to be, you know, in Farmington, or is it going to be somewhere else? And so, you know, who knows what's going to happen with the hydrogen hub? But what I do know is that ultimately the best way to produce hydrogen is with methane, with carbon capture on it, because you do emit CO2 in the chemical process. You take that CH4 and it turns into H4 plus CO2. And so you can capture that CO2, though, at the point that you're generating it. And that's still four times more efficient than green hydrogen is in terms of the amount of energy it takes both to create the hydrogen plus to capture the CO2.
Understood. Thank you for explaining that to me. I know there's still folks that are concerned, though, about the byproduct, right, when you do that, though, which is what's left over from the methane.
As the CO2, and if you right. capture and sequester the CO2 is the carbon free or carbon neutral, if you will, approach.
Right.
And again, that whole approach, you've got to have some place to put the CO2 once you sequester it, but that is still far more efficient than green hydrogen made from water.
Gotcha. Understood. And that could be another future
industry
here.
And correct.
And as you mentioned, we've heard that maybe the use for hydrogen could be in this long haul kind of transportation.
Yep.
Because it's more of a portable
yep.
type of energy.
Well, you and you can, you know, fill it up like a car, and, you know, it doesn't take 2 hours to charge your battery. It doesn't,
right.
you know.
And nobody's putting wind sails on trucks.
No one's putting wind sails on trucks or ships or airplanes.
Right. So all of that.
So,
T. Greg Marion, let me come back to you a little bit about your thoughts with hydrogen. I mean, this is another potential area for the natural gas industry, right, to get involved with this, the new and upcoming thing.
Yeah. You know, a number of years ago, we had a company come to us, and they had found some technology through the New Mexico labs where they could take steam methane reforming and make it more efficient than it had ever been before, and
do it at a micro level,
and be able to make hydrogen at remote sites at a much smaller scale than ever had been done before. And we liked their
idea. Most hydrogen is generated mega plants.
Right. Okay, gotcha.
That's right.
Mega
okay. plants. That's yeah. right. And so, and hydrogen is a very, very small molecule and not something that's easy to transport around. So if you're producing it in one area, it's not efficient to be trucking air all over the place where you need it. So if you can produce the hydrogen wherever you are using it, it's a game changer. And there's a company, we invested in that company. The name of the company is BayoTech. And they're
Tesco's working. Tesco's
they
are manufacturing.
The colleges too, I think.
What's that?
I think the college is working with BayoTech a little bit too.
The college
develop a program,
The
right?
college is developing a training program.
Yeah.
in regard to hydrogen and hydrogen safety.
And these portable units that you're talking about.
Absolutely, absolutely. And the first portable unit is going to go out this year. It's being finished at PESCO right now. And so BayoTech's located in Albuquerque. PESCO is manufacturing the units here in Farmington. And it's really a pretty exciting development. And there is a future for hydrogen. And I do think that the long haul transportation is certainly one application that is a good one.
Gotcha. Very interesting. Well, and again, I think we'll be hearing a lot more about it. I know the state, it certainly sounds like the governor is very involved with this hydrogen idea. In the legislature, we have a 60-day session coming up. I can't imagine we're not going to see hydrogen legislation moving through the roundhouse. And the federal government, Department of Energy, seems very interested in promoting this idea
with
the visit by the none other than the Department of Energy Secretary was here not too long ago in San Juan County.
Yeah.
And so we'll be hearing a lot more about that. So it sounds very interesting. Maybe we'll have a hydrogen-powered train before too long.
Maybe.
You never know.
You
never know. People are talking about it. But anyway, I really appreciate you gentlemen coming in this morning to talk with me about this really important industry to our area. As you've mentioned, George Sharp, we've been really enjoying the benefits of the energy industry, specifically natural gas, for a long time in this community, and it's provided for a lot of things,
probably pay for this studio
that we're sitting in right now. I would say the college for sure has been a long-standing
beneficiary.
That's very true. And T. Greg Marion, again, your company has been giving back to this community for a long, long time too, because of the energy industry, and so
that's right.
We appreciate all those things, and thank you for coming in out of retirement.
I
don't know how I did that, but I got you on a good morning.
Thank you for having us.
He's been practicing retirement for a while because he does the same thing.
Well, good.
He still shows up. He's no more retired than he was before he retired.
Is that it?
He's good at it. He's been practicing for a long time.
There you go. Sooner or later, he'll get it right.
Well, he shows up and he asks questions. So that's what the boss does.
I bet that's important.
Yeah,
so,
it is very
and they
important.
Appreciate that. Yep. So very good. Well, I appreciate both of you sharing your expertise with us this morning. So
thank
you for having us on the show.
Of course. You're welcome. Good to see you both.
Have a good life.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
My guest this morning here on KSJE. KSJE and San Juan College present the Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week. Week 12, eliminate distractions. Studying without distractions is crucial. If you're studying alone, try to find a quiet space or put headphones on to block out noise from your surroundings. If you're in an area trying to study and it's just not working out, relocate. It might be frustrating to have to pick up and move, but it'll be worth it once you're in a good environment. Consider putting your phone on silent or vibrate. You can always respond to your messages after your study session. The Student Success Coaching Tip of the Week, presented by KSJE and the Student Achievement Center at San Juan College. KSJE is supported by the Farmington Museum. What if you could jump into the world of wild crats and swing through the trees like a monkey, or hunt like a dragonfish? Now you can. Wild Crats, Creature Power, and Ocean Adventure Museum Exhibit, opening September 24th through January 7th at the Farmington Museum. Tickets at farmingtonmuseum.org. Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.